Instead of looking to the cure for the problem, they merely address the symptom. Paul is describing the people that would surround themselves with the popular teachers who will say the things that sound nice and they'll feel good about themselves, at least for a short while. And they'll feel good about their sin because the preacher has told them it's not a big deal. We can just scratch this problem right here. Itch that little problem right there and you'll feel better for a while. But Christ is coming to judge. Then he will judge with his law and his holiness on the basis of what we've done. And so the word of Christ is necessary. As he says, don't turn aside to myths. Preach the gospel. The gospel is the cure for sin. It's not merely attacking the symptom or the feeling of discomfort. The gospel brings a person out of their sin to know the goodness of God.
This message comes from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, February 2nd, 2025. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 5.
In 2003, there was a company started in California by the name of Theranos, and it decided it was going to boast about its product, that it could do a lot of blood work and reveal a lot of stuff in a small container that was revolutionary. And a lot of people bought it. The company became so popular that hundreds of millions of dollars flowed in from private investors and from companies. Stores like Walgreens and Safeway invested in them, and eventually, many years later, their valuation came to $10 billion. The only problem was, it was really all just a big show. All that success, all that popularity, all that value was built on not very much. And as it began to be exposed, they used their lawyers to silence any critics. And they even invited, in 2015, the vice president of the White House, the vice president of the United States, to come and tour one of their labs. Although it was later reported that was a fake lab, as much as it might have impressed the president, the lab was not real. In fact, their product was very much falling short of all of its claims. And yes, soon enough, the FDA acknowledged that their product had never been tested, and people began to expose how fake they were, and soon the money dropped, the value decreased, and the president and the founder of the company were charged of money fraud and jailed. See, popularity doesn't always equate success. And isn't that true when it comes also to God's kingdom? Popularity doesn't always equate success, at least not in God's eyes, in the way that he would measure things. So how do we evaluate, how do we look at and determine what is good and what is successful when it comes to a Christian ministry, a pastor, and a flock? Well, today we continue our Epiphany series looking at those aha moments, and we see how the Apostle Paul writes to a young pastor. And as we look at these words, we see him giving us understanding for how we are to evaluate the success of a pastor and his flock. As we read in Titus chapter 3, and Paul writes to this young pastor Timothy, he's reminding him how there are lots of imposters. He says, people will go, as far as the people that were coming into the church, evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. The false claims, the lies, the people that are putting on sheep's clothing, it will increase, he says. In fact, Paul says in this chapter, they will have a form of godliness. They'll put on a good show, but it will be empty of its power. So how do we know what to look for? Well, Timothy didn't have to look too far because he already had everything he needed for a legitimate ministry and to serve in God's church as a pastor. Paul told him, as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you learned it. Timothy knew God's word. And Paul's not just talking about the time that he himself taught Timothy. No, Timothy had learned, even as a young infant, from the scriptures. And he learned it not from his father, but it actually turned out his mother was a believer, and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. You see, a pastor is equipped Not because they're receiving information from some popular first best-selling author or getting something from some popular mega TV evangelist. No, sometimes it just happens as a powerful word is shared in the home. The word, which often starts in the home, is the foundation for what makes a successful ministry. And notice what he says about Timothy. He says, "You've become convinced of it, how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures." This learning from God's word began even as he was a newborn, even before he was weaned from his mother. Faith was there. Despite what many popular preachers might say, that infants and children can't have faith, true faith, they do. And the word of God is powerful. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, a successful ministry is built off of this. The Scriptures, the sacred Scriptures. And those Scriptures have the power of God to create faith. And primarily and foremost, it's wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. And that salvation is received through faith. This is what makes a Christian ministry. What more could you ask for to have a successful work if you've got the powerful Word of God? And how is that Word of God able to make faith for salvation in Christ? All Scripture is God-breathed. Notice he says, not just some of the Bible, or your favorite parts of the Bible. He doesn't even say the Scriptures contain God's Word. He says all Scripture is divinely inspired. A successful Christian ministry is one that doesn't distort or change or turn aside from this, that every word that's written down is the Word of God. Sure, you could get rid of some of the teachings that aren't so popular in today's culture, and you might find a measure of worldly success. Or you could find yourself saying, I don't quite agree that this part is God-breathed, and if I just avoid speaking of that, then I'll be popular. But the truth that Paul reminds Timothy and us is this: all of God's word must be taught. All of it is God-breathed. And not only is all of Scripture useful and powerful to make us wise for salvation, it's useful, as he says, for Christian living. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. Notice how you almost see a progression there. Someone is taught the Word of God, but it can't stop there. Not only is it sometimes unpopular to teach everything Jesus has given us, but when someone strays from that word, what is a healthy congregation to do? What is a faithful minister of the Word of God to do? Do you want a pastor who will never say that you've done something wrong when you're straying from Christ? Do you want a pastor who will never rebuke you, but will always make you feel good about yourself instead of your God? All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for this, for teaching, yes. And then when someone turns aside from the truth, to correct, to rebuke, and then when they come back, to train them in righteousness. Could you imagine a Christian church that corrected and rebuked with God's word? And every time someone sinned, it pointed them to the light, but it never gave them the true light of forgiveness, and train them into knowing the righteousness of Christ and the freedom of forgiveness. Would that even be a Christian church? A Christian church might grow in popularity if it refuses to use the Word of God and all of the Word of God for teaching, rebuking, and correcting. But how do you evaluate ministry? What sort of church do you want? You know, I have to admit, and my own sinful nature don't like to look at parts of Scripture that cut my heart. And as a pastor, it's easy for me to say, this church would be more popular if we just avoided some of these teachings that people don't like. And even the flock is at times tempted to tell their pastor, you probably shouldn't be speaking about that. Because you know, the young people, they don't like to hear that these days. Or maybe you yourself might chafe as you hear that rebuke from a Christian minister, as they correct, as they encourage and train. It's all because Timothy and the people of God have sinful hearts. They need to hear the reminder of the power of God's word, the purpose of God's word, and the function of God's word. And so Paul goes on, and he says, correcting and training in righteousness so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A Christian ministry is not simply one that holds the divine treasures of God's word, but is equipped with it, equipped to live out fruits of faith in their life and a Christian life. Not one that, simply shows up as if Sunday worship is an event, but one which changes the heart, one which causes them to carry that word of God throughout their life. And as they're equipped for every good work, they serve God and others in their life. And yet the temptation is there to refuse the equipping, to refuse the rebuking, to refuse the teaching and the training. So Paul has to say to Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. You know, the pastor serves not only on the whim of the congregation, but he serves under Christ. Paul reminds him, in the presence of Christ, I give you this charge. You know how seriously we are to view the office of the ministry. If those who teach and preach are called, not just by Christians, but called through them, called by God to preach his word, and charged by him to be faithful, him who appeared and who gave himself for us, and him who is coming again to judge. Would anyone want a Christian ministry that loses sight of this? That if there is no power of the word of God, if we empty it of its power and distort it or turn aside from it, or if we refuse to correct, rebuke, and train in righteousness, that Christ is coming to judge this world. And he will judge ministers who turn aside from the truth, and he will judge us for rejecting the truth. So Paul says, I give you this charge in view of Christ's coming. Preach the word. And there's the solution, the word of God. Notice the epiphany moment today is this. What makes a faithful Christian ministry is simply this, faithfulness to the word. Not the success of the world, not numbers or popularity, not having some special patents or billions of dollars in investment. No, it's simply this, preach the word. And because there will be conflicts, because it will be hard, he tells him, be prepared in season and out of season. That is, when it's convenient and when it's not. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. Use that word of God. Use it with the full law of God to cut the heart. And notice he doesn't stop there. He says, encourage. Bring the gospel to the sinner so they too might be built up and return to Christ with joy. And encourage and spur one another on with great patience and careful instruction. What good would it be if we corrected and encouraged but lacked patience? A faithful Christian ministry uses the word of God, but uses it with the heart of God. And that's why Paul must warn of the surrounding world as he says, a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. In fact, today it's already unpopular to say the word doctrine. Many churches will say, well, we don't have doctrine, but the scriptures say, people will no longer put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. You know, if you do a quick search online for a back scratcher, you'll find all sorts of styles. Some of them are pretty fancy, made out of wood. Some of them have telescoping arms. And you can get one for as little as $1.25 or some of them upwards of $25. Some of the more creepy ones are actually shaped like a hand, scratching your back. That type of a product is what some people treat the Word of God, as if it's only there to deal with the surface problem. Could you imagine if someone had a skin disease or a fungus growing on their back and they decided to treat it with a mere back scratcher instead of treating the sickness? Instead of looking to the cure for the problem, they merely address the symptom. Paul is describing the people that would surround themselves with the popular teachers who will say the things that sound nice and they'll feel good about themselves, at least for a short while. And they'll feel good about their sin because the preacher has told them it's not a big deal. We can just scratch this problem right here. Itch that little problem right there and you'll feel better for a while. But Christ is coming to judge, then he will judge with his law and his holiness on the basis of what we've done. And so the word of Christ is necessary. As he says, don't turn aside to myths. Preach the gospel. The gospel is the cure for sin. It's not merely attacking the symptom or the feeling of discomfort. The gospel brings a person out of their sin to know the goodness of God. Preach the word, as Paul says, to bring people out of darkness and to know Christ, Jesus, who came and appeared. The cure for sin is that Jesus came and carried out his ministry perfectly. Paul said to Timothy, "You, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist," that is, one who shares good news. But you're going to endure hardship, Timothy. Timothy, and I must admit myself, and other pastors and ministers of the gospel have not done this perfectly. We've not always kept our head in every situation. We not always have had great patience. And the flock always has to reflect and say, we've not always done the same ourselves. But the good news is this. There is one who came and who kept his head in every situation. There is one who came and who endured hardship. And what minister of the gospel was more faithful than the one we read earlier who said, I must preach the word in other towns also, for that is why I came. And he came not only to preach that good news, but to fulfill it as he gave us himself for forgiveness of sins. The gospel is centered on Jesus Christ and his appearing. And with that powerful gospel, we have the cure for sin. And we have all the tools, all the things we need for a successful ministry. Faithfulness to his word. Reliance on the power of his word. So Paul concludes, discharge all the duties of your ministry. It's a ministry that, yes, Timothy had to claim because God gave it to him, but it's one that was serving for the benefit of the church. Today our epiphany moment is this. As we wonder and evaluate Christian ministry, how is it evaluated? How do we measure success in God's eyes? Success is not found in being on the latest large broadcaster filling an arena. Success is not found in numbers or even finances. Success is not found in the praise of this world. No, success in Christian ministry for pastor and flock is found in reliance on the power of the Word of God, which is able to make you wise for salvation, and to use that Word of God for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And as that's done, to faithfully do it, despite the attacks of this world, to endure hardship, and to do it with great patience and with sound doctrine, and to look to Christ, who himself gave us all that we need, his gospel, his good news, the cure, and our success. It's in him. Amen.